Welcome to Capital Baptist Church and welcome to our teaching series called Seven. We're so glad you're here today as we continue with this series, and we're looking at what's been referred to throughout church history as the seven deadly sins, the seven deadly sins. And so if you would take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. And that's going to be our key verse, starting point today, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. And also inside of your program is a study guide of our message. And so if you'll look inside of your program, you'll find a tool that I put together each week when I speak. I call it the study guide, and it looks like this. So if you would go into your program, you'll find one of these, and I hope that you'll use it as we go through the message for today. Well, I'm very, very excited about our message for today as we talk about surviving greed, surviving greed. And so we're glad you're with us as we continue on, and really now we're crossing over into the second half of these messages. And we've already talked about pride, lust, anger, and envy. And I got to tell you, God's been continuing to work in my heart since last Sunday on that message on envy. And that was the first time I've ever spoken on envy. And I got to tell you, God has been kicking at me and working on me. And I'm telling you, that message had a huge impact on my life last Sunday. But today we're going to be crossing over and looking at greed, gluttony, sloth, and we're going to add a message, which I'm going to talk about in a second. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about surviving gluttony, And this has been referred to as one of the deadly sins. Also, I want to mention that next Sunday, we're going to be having a special celebration and book signing for a book that I wrote called Bod for God. And what's different is this is a brand new edition of Bod for God. And it's a new edition. It's improved. It's expanded. And it literally just came out. I'm holding the very first copy of this book. And so next Sunday, one of the parts of the service and the time together is to talk about that book and how God has blessed it and is using it in so many lives. And so we're going to look at a topic you don't hear about very much in church, and that is gluttony. We're also going to be starting 2 weeks from today our Losing to Live weight loss competition, and so you'll have an opportunity to sign up for that as well next Sunday. But I'm going to add a message. We're going to end up making this an 8-week series. And I call this a bonus message. And from time to time, God kind of messes up my plan, you know. And, you know, I spend a lot of time organizing our series and getting them all worked out and put together. And it takes a lot of work to get it organized, but I love doing it. But I just feel like the Holy Spirit is tugging at me to add a message. And so we're going to be doing a bonus message, and it's going to be on the topic of the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. There is one sin that Jesus said cannot be forgiven. There is one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about what is the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? And we're going to talk about what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be doing that message the first Sunday of October. And so just make a mental note of that. And we'll be getting into that message. And I'm very excited about looking at that topic. Well, today we're going to talk about surviving greed. Surviving greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. Says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. sorrows. Now here Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking about all these different topics and all these different subjects. And here in this section, he's talking about the whole idea of greed. This is a pretty powerful section of Scripture. It talks about contentment. It talks about giving. It talks about a lot of different important issues related to money. But here it talks about, in this particular verse, how that when we love money, okay, when we love money, okay, there's nothing wrong with having money. But when we allow money to have us, that's the love of money, the love of money. And the Bible says when you get caught up in that type of lifestyle, it says the result of that is, number one, people stray from the faith. They don't live a rock-solid, faith-filled Christian life because of greediness in their lives. But also it says they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. Many people have sorrow in their lives because they can't control their greed. They can't control their greed. So today, let's go to page 2 of our notes, and let's talk about this whole idea of how to survive greed. How can we survive greed? Because you know what? Our fleshly nature is bent towards wanting more, just wanting more. Did you hear the new iPhone 7 came out this week? Hallelujah. I'm sitting there thinking, I got the lousiest phone there ever was, okay? I think I'm about 3 versions behind. But anyway, okay, which is fine, okay? But there's always another thing, isn't there? There's always something else that can tug away at our hearts, that can kind of get us wanting more and more and more and more. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, first of all, the nature of greed. So as I've told you each week, this is always going to be point number one, the nature of the sin, whatever the sin is for the week. And I gave up early on coming up with one little pithy definition because honestly, these things are multifaceted, they're multi-layered, and honestly, it's hard to come up and say, oh, this is the definition or whatever, okay? But I do think we can understand the nature of it, all right? So what's the nature of greed? It's excessive desire to acquire, okay? It's the desire to acquire, money and possessions. And then I think greed also includes a second part we don't think about very often, and that is to hold on to them, So first of all, the nature of greed is the desire to acquire, We want to get things. We want to get money. We want to get possessions. And then a lot of this is to want to hold on to what we get. Whatever we acquire, we want to hold on to it. Now, there are many examples of greed in the Bible, but probably the greatest, in my opinion, is Luke chapter 12. And this is just a perfect example of greed here. And a perfect example of someone who literally, was pierced through with sorrow because of their greediness. And it's one of the parables that Jesus taught. It says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. All right, so Jesus is telling a parable. Now, a parable is when Jesus would tell a human story, but then make a spiritual application. So the parables, and I think it was like 38 or something like that, the parables were when Jesus would tell a kind of a human story, something we could relate to, but then he would use it to teach spiritual truth, So he's talking about this parable, and he's saying the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So this guy's got a lot going on. He's kind of like a farmer kind of guy. He's a rich guy. God is blessing his ground. I mean, God's blessing his life. It's yielding plentifully. And then it talks about this man and what he thought within himself. And last year we did a series called Tongue Pierced. And one of the messages that really struck me hard was in that series we talked about self-talk. You know, self-talk. You know, what we say to ourselves is so important. And so this guy's having a self-talk. He's kind of talking to himself. And this is what he says. What shall I do? What shall I do? So he's got this massive crop that is yielding plentifully. And he's asking himself, what shall I do? I don't have room to store my crops. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 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 you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be what? Merry. Now, the big thing to focus on here is there's six eyes and four mice. Six eyes and four mice. Six times this guy uses the word I. And then four times he uses the term my. I mean, these are like the two most famous words of greedy people, I and my. I and my. That's kind of the verbiage both internally and externally of greedy people. Let me read it again. Circle every time you see the word I or the word my. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no rooms to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, this guy is a greedy man. He is a greedy, greedy individual. God is blessing him. Remember, it's the desire to acquire money and possessions and then to hold on to it. Okay, so he's getting it. He's getting it. He's acquiring. And now he's trying to hold on to it. He's not living an open-handed life thinking, how can I be a blessing? You know, how can I be a blessing? No, he's wanting to hold on to it. And so he says, what I'm going to do is I don't have barns big enough to fill this place up. And so I'm gonna store it, myself. Now, one modern day application of this is the self storage industry. Now, I'm not saying if you have a self storage, okay, because the church has one too. Okay, I'm not saying you're a greedy bad person. Okay, I'm saying you can be a greedy bad person. All right. So one of the biggest phenomenons that has happened over the past decade and a half in particular is there's been this huge boom in self-storage. Now, I understand some people have, you know, apartments or whatever and don't have room for stuff and, you know, things happen. The industry is built on the five D's. I forget what the five D's are. You know, it was death, divorce, disaster. I can't remember what it was. I mean, after studying up on this, it's a pretty profitable area to look into, okay? And I read this one article in Bloomberg called Hoarder Nation. America's self-storage industry is booming. And it talks about, let me just give you some of the high points. The countries, as far as when it comes to our country, we're outgrowing our capacity. Now this is happening at the same time that houses are being built bigger, okay? So you got to realize, okay, houses are getting larger all the time. You notice that? All right. And so houses are getting bigger, but that's, you know, but then there's still all these self-storage units popping up. And over the last 15 years, they've more than doubled, okay? They've more than doubled. And like I said, I mean, some of the articles are talking about this is a great business to get into, you know, and how that, you know, people are always going to need to store stuff and things like that. Well, I'm not saying if you have a self-storage unit, you're greedy, okay? But this is kind of what this guy was like. He wanted to build a bigger barns. He wanted to find a bigger place to keep his stuff. But what he didn't realize was verse 20, but God. Would you underline those two words? But God. See, what he forgot was he forgot the most important thing to consider, and that was God. He didn't say, God, you blessed me. What do you want me to do with all this that you blessed me with? God wasn't part of the equation. God wasn't part of his life at all. But what this guy didn't realize was God says, you're a fool. You're a fool. Now, a biblical fool is someone that sees things only from a temporal standpoint, a temporal standpoint. So they only see things from an earthly perspective. They don't consider the eternal. They don't consider the heavenly. The contrast in the Bible to a fool is the wise person. So the wise person is thinking about eternity. They're thinking about what's going to last and things like that. All right, understand? And so God says to them, you're a fool because this is the deal. This night your soul will be required of you. In other words, dude, you're going to die tonight. You're going to die tonight. And here's the question. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? The answer is it's all going to be what? Left behind, right? It's all going to be left behind. I mean, all the greed stays on this earth. All the generosity goes to heaven, by the way. So, I mean, the greed, the life of acquiring, the desire to acquire and hold on, all that stays on this earth, all right? And then verse 21 says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself that is not rich towards God. So the problem with greed is you want more and more and more. You want more and more and more. The virtue we want to replace when it comes to greed is generosity. Generosity. Remember in this series, we're not just looking at the sin, what we got to take off. We're also trying to understand what we need to put on, all right? So in this situation, what we need to try to put on is generosity. Generosity. An open-handed lifestyle. Living a generous life, an open-handed lifestyle. Number two, three warning signs of greed. Here's some possible signs that you need to look at in your life that may indicate you have some trouble or a lot of trouble with greed. Number one, you live above your means. You live above your means. People that are greedy people oftentimes live above their means. The Bible says in Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. So this is a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. And so the wicked person, they're about borrowing, but they have trouble or they don't pay. You know, they don't pay. Bankruptcies are at an all-time high, you know. But the righteous are just the opposite. The righteous, they show mercy and they give. They show mercy and they give. So basically, greed shows up many times when we are overextending ourselves. We're not content with what we have. We're not even thankful for what we have. And so in the age we live in with so much easy credit available to us, those three easy payments that we find out aren't so easy, get a hold of us, you know, get a hold of us. And so one of the things that's so paramount today is credit cards. And credit cards are available these days to finance our greed. And they're available to us to help us with our greed. And what people need to understand, all of us need to understand, is we typically spend more when we use a credit card. We typically spend more when we use a credit card. And there was a Dun and Bradstreet study that showed that people spend on average 12 to 18% more when they use a credit card instead of cash. So the tendency is when you got a credit card, you know, because it's not physical money, it's not there right there in front of you or whatever, and you don't feel that cash transaction going on, the tendency is to spend more. And there's lots and lots of evidences of that. In fact, I remember, I'm not a big fan of McDonald's these days, to be honest with you, but back in the day, I was there almost every day, okay? And I remember when they came out with the credit card at McDonald's, And I thought, what in the world? You know, this is crazy. I mean, this is like fast food, and it's probably not going to be a very big exchange. And you know, what in the world are they wanting to add credit cards? All the processing and all the stuff. Well, guess what? Okay, in McDonald's, the average ticket with a credit card is $7. All right, as opposed to cash is $4.50. So in McDonald's, if people use cash, they spend $4.50. And if they use a credit card, they spend $7. I think McDonald's kind of knew what was going on there. Okay? I think they kind of understood, you know, there's some profit here, okay, if we can just add credit cards. The biggest debt these days isn't credit cards. It's education. The biggest debt that people accumulate these days, that's even larger than credit card debt, is education debt. And the average student who graduated in 2016, this year, has over $37,000 worth of debt. Okay, that's the average. That's the average student. They have in 2016, the average graduate was $37,000 in student loans. And so these are difficult times in which we live. And we just have to ask ourselves, am I trying to live above my means? You know, am I trying to live above my means? Going back to last week's message, I mean, God has a custom-made plan for every one of us. And we got to understand that. And we're not all going to have the same things in life. God has a different plan for every one of us. And we have to learn to be content, yet we can try to improve. Not only trying to improve, but generally speaking, we have to be content. So they live above their means. They live above their means. They overspend. They, you know, they can't control credit and things like that. And then you're preoccupied with money. All of us think about money a lot. I mean, let's be honest. But this person thinks about money even more than a lot. It says he covets greedily all the day long. He covets greedily all the day long. So they're thinking about money just constantly, okay, all the day long. They got money on their mind. They got money on their mind. But again, the righteous gives and does not spare. I mean, all throughout the Bible, the contrast between greed is giving, okay? Giving, open-handed living. Living with an open hand. The greedy person lives a closed-fisted life. They get it, and they want to keep it. They give it, and they want to keep it. And then you miss out on the blessing of generous living. They miss out on the blessing of generous living. Greedy people are miserable people. They really are. And the reason is God designed you to be the most happy when you are generous. And when you become greedy and are not experiencing the blessing of giving, then you are going to be a miserable person. In Acts 20:35, Jesus said this, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." And so this is one cool verse because most of the time when they are quoting the words of Jesus in the epistles, it's usually something that's in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In other words, later on, Paul or Peter or Jude or John or the other people that wrote the other parts of the New Testament, if they quote Jesus, you know, almost all the time it's a quote from something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what's cool about this statement is it's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so so Luke, the writer of Acts, is revealing something that Jesus said on earth that's not recorded in the Gospels. And it says, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And you know, here's the deal. When you get to a point where you would rather give than get, you have reached a new milestone in your spiritual maturity. When you truly, truly, I mean, all of us like to get, don't get me wrong. You never get to a point where it's not nice to get something, all right? But I'm talking about compared between giving and getting, when you get to a point where you would rather give than get, okay? Again, I want to be clear, okay? All of us like to get. But I'm talking about you get to a point where you say, okay, if I got a choice, I'd rather be a giver than a receiver. You, honestly, you have reached a new level of spiritual maturity, all right? It is more blessed, Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And greedy people never know the blessing of giving. And because of that, they're miserable people, okay? Hoarders are miserable people, you know? Because God designed us so that we would be the most blessed and happy, you know, and joyful when we're giving, okay? When we're giving of our time, when we're giving of our talent, when we're giving of our treasure, when we're pouring out our life. Wow. They miss out. Just look at that list real quick and we'll move on. Are you living above your means? Are you living above your means? Are you preoccupied with money? Are you missing out on the blessing of generous giving? These could be indications, signs, warning signs that perhaps you have a problem with greed. Number three, replace greed with generosity. Replace greed with generosity. So the goal is to take off greed and to put on generosity. To take off greed and put on generosity. Ephesians 4 talks about this. It says that we've got to put off the sin, verse 22, and we got to renew our minds, verse number 23, and we got to put on the new, okay? So in this situation, we want to put off the sin of greed. Hopefully, our minds are being renewed by the Word of God today, all right? So the way we make our minds new is through the Word of God, and hopefully your mind is being renewed right now. And that you put on the new man. And the new man is what? It's generosity. So how can you do this? Number one, know that things do not satisfy. This is huge. This is where it begins. Because the desire to acquire often is rooted in thinking that one more thing is going to bring me happiness. If I can just get that one more thing, I'm going to be so happy. I mean, when you come to the realization that there is nothing in a thing to satisfy you, then you have reached a milestone in your life, all right? I mean, you got to know that it's not things that satisfy. I mean, Ecclesiastes 2 is the best statement about that. And here's a guy named Solomon. In verse 10, it says, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them." Underline that statement. I mean, here's a guy that anything he saw, now none of us are this way. I look at things all the time and say, I just can't afford that, right? Do you ever experience that? Do you ever experience that, okay? If you don't, let's talk or whatever, okay? All right. I mean, whatever my eyes desired, this guy had so much money, he never looked at anything and said, I can't afford it. He could afford anything he wanted. He was the richest man in the world at that time, all right? He says, I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, anything he wanted. And in verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, he says, all was vanity, empty. The word vanity means empty. I was empty on the inside. It was like, this is a powerful word picture. Look at this word picture. Grasping for the wind. Isn't that a powerful image? When you are reaching out, thinking that money and possessions are going to make you happy, you're grasping for the wind. You're grasping for the wind. You got to know that things do not satisfy. They might bring you some short-term pleasure. But that new car is going to get old, you know? But you're going to still have the same old payment or whatever, okay? You got to understand that, all right? Number two, put God first. Put God first. Put God first in everything you do. He says in verse 31, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You know, don't just get focused on material things, all right? Because this is what the Gentiles are after. This is what Gentile means unbelievers. This is what the world, the unbelievers seek. Your Heavenly Father, He knows what you need. He knows what you need. And by the way, He knows what you can handle, you know? You know, those people in the video there, if most of them got given $1 million, it would destroy their life, you know? That one guy, at least, was wise enough to say a billion's too much. That would drive me crazy or whatever. Well, $1 million would drive you crazy too, whatever. You know, just look at all the people that win the lottery. They don't win, they lose big time, okay? Their lives are 99% of the time destroyed. Just do your research on it. Don't be stupid. Go out and buy a lottery tickets. I said stupid. If you want me to tell you to your face, just come by and see me. I'll be glad to say it right to your face, okay? Don't do it, okay? It's poor stewardship, okay? It's just not a good thing to do, all right? Praise the Lord, amen, all right? Your Father knows what you need. Your Father knows what you need. Seek Him first. Put Him first. Put Him first. And His righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. It's a wonderful thing to be able to put your life in God's hand and let God help you and lead you to figure out what kind of car you ought to be driving, what kind of house or apartment or whatever you live in or whatever, what kind of clothes you ought to wear, what kind of food you ought to be eating, okay? I mean, it's a wonderful thing just to put your life in God's hands and let Him design His plan for you. And then number three, have an attitude of gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. I mean, the problem is we're not thankful for what we have. You know, we're so focused, including me, we're so focused on, you know, sometimes acquiring and holding on that we are not grateful for what we have. You know, we're not grateful for what God has given to us. And I love Acts 27, and it's the Apostle Paul, and they are this great story. They're shipwrecked, all that kind of stuff. Maybe you know that story. And I love this, what it says here. It says, when he had said these things, okay, and basically what he said, they're pretty much running out of food. That's what it comes down to. And it says, he took the bread, and he gave thanks to God, and I love this, in the presence of them all. And then he broke it, and he began to eat. Yeah. I love that. Just giving thanks for the bread, giving thanks for the food. And doing your best not just to make it some kind of rote, random thing, but just each and every time, just pausing, you know, and just giving a word of thanks, a sincere word of thanks for the food that God has given you, you know. And, you know, we encourage each other. My dad's been having lots of mental issues, okay, maybe dementia, maybe extreme anxiety. We still don't know for sure, okay. And it's been a long time since I've heard my dad pray, okay? And last night, he just randomly, we sat down and he just prayed. Dear Lord, thank you for that. I mean, boy, that thrilled me. That thrilled me, you know. Just my dad is, you know, he's never had a whole lot in life, but he's always just been so thankful for what he has. So thankful. We need to be grateful for what God has given us. We need to be thankful for what God has given us. And then invest in eternity. Greedy people are just laying up treasure on earth. You know, what does it say of that man in Luke chapter 12? You know, Jesus, what a great question Jesus asks. Who's it going to belong to then? Okay. When you are dead and gone, all that stuff you acquired and you held on to with everything in you, who's it going to belong to? Okay, it's all going to be left behind because you laid up your treasure on this earth. And when you lay up your treasure on earth, it stays on earth. Okay, but Jesus said there's a better way. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Every time you live a life of generosity and you open up your hand and you give of your time, your talent, your treasure, the things God has given us, you know, we're laying up treasure in heaven. We, you know, it is going to a place, and I love the description. There won't moth and rust can't destroy, thieves can't break through and steal it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, what's sad is all of us, including me, when we get to heaven, are going to wish we gave more. When we get to heaven, I guarantee you, every one of us are going to wish we gave more. Lastly, bring the full tithe plus offerings to God. You know, one way that you show generosity is through tithing. Okay, tithing means 10%. And I want to challenge you today about bringing the full tithe to God plus offerings. And there are many awesome tithing verses in the Old and New Testament. But one of them we don't focus on very often is Deuteronomy 14. And it says, you shall truly tithe. I want you to underline that word, truly. Truly tithe. You know, do you truly tithe? Can you say, I truly tithe? What is your gross income? And are you truly tithing that? Truly, can you truly say you're giving 10% of your gross income to God through the local church in a cheerful manner? And in verse number 23, the end says that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. You see, the tithe, God doesn't need our money. That's what we got to understand. One of these days, we're going to realize that, okay? God doesn't need your money. Do you understand that? He is not going to go hungry tonight if you don't tithe or whatever, okay? But one of the reasons we tithe is it shows we fear God. It shows we fear God. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18 says he gives us the power to get wealth. It shows us that we realize that God is our source, that God is the giver of these things. And so do you truly tithe? At Capital Baptist Church, we talk about, you know, giving. And I thank God that my pastor taught me about giving. I'm so grateful for him. I'm so thankful my parents taught me about giving and living a generous life. And you know, every week pretty much I say there's three ways to give. You hear me say this, okay? Three ways to give. Because in today's generation, giving is complicated. There's so many ways that people, you know, deal with their money. And I talk about, you know, giving in person, giving through the offering plate, and using an offering envelope. I talk about mailing in your gift, you know. A lot of people like to sit down when they're paying their bills or whatever. They like to do their giving. And so we designed an envelope just to make that easy because so many people don't even keep stamps in their house anymore, you know. And people don't know, you know, where's the address? So we just made up an envelope that says, hey, it's postage pay. You don't have to worry about a stamp. Okay, if you want to put one on there, you can. That's great. That helps out, by the way, okay, if you do put one on there, but you don't have to. And then it's pre-addressed. Here's the address. You just put it right inside there. You know, online giving, you know, we have to have online giving. You know what struck me about 3 years ago? This is when I got all stirred up about online giving. I was at this event, and there was about 300 pastors at the event. And one of these online giving companies got up there. Because there's a bunch of them out there these days and things like that. And there's about 300 of us pastors there, and the guy said, I'll never forget, he says, how many of you have a checkbook with you right now? Not you ain't got to be, we were away, so we were in a hotel. He says, it can be right here in the room, or it can be up in your room, it can be, but you have your checkbook with you, okay? You know how many people had a checkbook with them? I think it was two, okay? Two out of 300. He said, how many of you have at least $100 in cash with you right now? At least $100 in cash. Okay. I think that was zero. It's a bunch of preachers, whatever, okay? You know, it just hit me at that point, you know? People don't carry checks very often, okay? And they don't carry cash very often. And we have online giving for those kinds of people. And one thing I want to challenge you with about online giving, we use a company called SecureGive. You can give any way you want to. I know a lot of you are disciplined with checks and all that stuff, and that's actually how we give most of the time. But, you know, one thing that we have available that can help us, and maybe if you want to give online that can help you, is you can automate your giving, okay? The good thing about online giving to be make sure you're truly tithing, okay? You can, with our online system, you can actually set it up so it's automated. And I don't know about you, but we have a lot of our bills automated in our household. I mean, number one, it saves a lot of time, okay? Saves a lot of time. Number two, it saves a lot of stress because you know it's getting paid. And one big thing is you can be confident, you know, that you're truly tithing. You can set it up. You can change it anytime you want to change it. You can stop it anytime you want to stop it. But one thing you might want to consider, you know, is automating your giving. And so part of overcoming greed is to bring the full tithe and to bring things like your faith promise, missionary offering, and things like that. So here's the deal. Falling into sin, it's not fatal. It's not fatal to fall into these sins, okay? But if you stay in these sins, okay, yes, sometimes we will be tempted by greed, and we might make a financial decision we shouldn't make. Who among us hasn't done that before, you know? Who among us hasn't let greed grip us at some point in time and we made a dumb financial decision? I think all of us would be honest and say that, okay? But staying in that sin, it's going to destroy you. You're going to pierce yourself through with many sorrows if you don't learn how to survive this. So here's the deal. Repent quickly, okay? If God's speaking to your heart today about greediness, repent, that means turn. Turn from that sin. And listen, return to righteousness. Return to generosity. It's as simple as, are you living with a closed fist? You desire to acquire and you hold on to it, or do you live with an open hand? Do you live with an open hand? A generous person lives with an open hand. Father, we love you and thank you for this challenge from your word. God, thank you so much for the truth here. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to not love money. Lord, yes, money is necessary. It's needed to make it in this world. But Lord, help us, Lord, not to let it control us. God, help us, Lord, not to be greedy. God, all of us have been pierced, at least a little and some a lot, with greediness, the sorrow of greediness. God, I pray for those that are struggling with financial debt. God, I pray that you'd help each one to find a plan to get out of debt. And God, just help us, Lord, not to be tricked by the enemy in this world of easy credit and you can get cards so easy, and you get school loans so easy. Lord, so many ways that we can get trapped in this. God, give us strength. Help us to have discernment. Help us to have wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.